It's Mike Florio time. On Wednesdays right here on The Score, we bring in Florio from ProFootballTalk.com. Mike Florio, how are you, sir?
You know, I thought that song would expunge the Houston Oilers theme song from my brain. It didn't.
It didn't, right?
Yeah, Mike, listen, I woke up humming that to myself today, and now thousands, if not millions of other people have it in their heads. So if that happens to you, I apologize.
The one good thing about that song is it reminds me of that unforgettable moment on Monday Night Football at a Houston Oilers game in the 70s where the camera closes in on a fan in the stands. And he decides to show folks that the Oilers really are number one.
And what was it, the Dandy Don, who at that point said exactly that? That he's just letting everybody know that they're number one.
I think that's right. And it's on YouTube. I found it and linked to it recently. It is out there, and it's hilarious to see it.
Now, Mike, I haven't had a chance to see it. It's in video form on your site. The Bears offseason to-do list. Am I right that that was produced yesterday by you guys?
It was produced Monday, so don't ask me about it because that was 48 hours ago. And I'd have to go back and watch it to refresh my recollection.
Okay.
Although, actually, I can find my notes here. We're doing them for every team. It's not a cop-out. Well, it is a cop-out, but we do them for every team, so it's hard for me to remember. I have it right here, though, if you want to ask me about it.
Okay. Do you have your notes?
I have my notes.
Oh, it's outstanding.
I just don't want to say something now. Because, you know, when you're on the radio, you're off the cuff.
Yeah.
But people are listening sometimes, and sometimes, like, blogs get written, and it's like, oh, boy, Florio said on Wednesday that we need this, and on Monday he said this.
I
just need to make sure that I have my stuff together.
Well, it doesn't stop us from contradicting ourselves constantly. I wouldn't let it worry you.
And so let's start with this, Mike. What I would do, and we've talked about this plenty, what I would do is I would target a high-priority wide receiver. You get me a Vincent Jackson and another free agent, like an Eddie Royal or something like that, who Cutler has some familiarity with. And then in the first round, you could take a defensive end, or you could take a corner, or you could take a tackle if you really wanted to, whoever the best guy is there, and then take a wide receiver maybe second round or third round. So you're adding three, essentially. But that's some of the stuff we've been talking about as I give you time to look at your notes. What would you do?
Let me tell you, receiver is high on the list. The first thing I had on the list is you got to figure out what you think about Matt Forte. How do you view him? How do you value him? Do you view him as an Adrian Peterson or a Chris Johnson? I think he wants to be paid that way. I don't think Phil Emery, the new GM, sees him that way, but you have to figure that out. This situation has to be resolved one way or the other, even if it means applying the franchise tag, paying him $7.7 million for 2012, hoping he shows up at some point before, 2 days before the start of the regular season, because you're entitled to hold out and miss everything if you want to, and you still get your full salary if you show up and sign the tender right before the start of the season. Beyond that, receiver's the biggest concern. For whatever reason, Jerry Angelo, the former GM, wanted nothing to do with going out and upgrading. This year, though, the dynamic changes. And here's how it changes. The rookie wage scale allows you an opportunity to get players and squat on them at much lower financial investments than you previously had to make, especially in round one. So now what you have to ask yourself is, do I wait and do I pick up a rookie that I can pay in comparison to what some of these free agents may cost, peanuts? Or do I go out and chase one of these free agents, overpay if I sign them in the first few days of free agency, and then maybe regret it because the guy doesn't work out, because for whatever reason he worked better in another system with another quarterback, blah, blah, blah. And with the free agent receivers issue, there are so many to choose from. I think the smart move is let everything die down, wait a week, see who's left, and then try to get a bargain. I just think somebody's going to overpay for Vincent Jackson because they want to have the press conference and hold up the jersey and sell jerseys and sell hats and justify raising prices on 85% of the tickets in the stadium, even though there wasn't a playoff appearance last year. So there are different reasons why you go out and sign guys the first couple of days. But taking the longer view, you want to resist jumping into an auction for a guy who's going to get overpaid. Wait for a guy who may slip through the cracks. He may be the better option long term.
Mike, do the Bears have the luxury of taking a longer view here? I mean, can they wait and not get one of these big guys in free agency, not get a Vincent Jackson? Is there any chance in the world someone like Dwayne Bowe is going to come on the market, or Brandon Marshall become available? Are those possibilities? Because if they don't get a big one in free agency, They might burn down Soldier Field. The fans here want they want a number one wide receiver.
I'd go after Marcus Colston before Vincent Jackson. Frankly, Vincent Jackson's 29 years old. He's had a pair of DUIs, and I know he hasn't had anything happen recently. But I would be concerned about giving him big money and tying the future of my offense to Vincent Jackson's ability to come in at 29. Perform the way that he used to, perform the way that he has in San Diego. And he is a beast. There's no doubt about it. But I'd be – and Marcus Colston's had some knee problems. But when you look at his numbers, he's one of the most productive receivers over the last 5 years. And we don't really notice that because the Saints offense has so many people touching the football, and it all comes back to Drew Brees distributing it. But even with all those other guys getting the ball, Marcus Colston's numbers still stack up very favorably to some of the best receivers in the game.
And he has tremendous hands. We did a list that Pro Football Focus had from a couple weeks ago, and he caught 80 of 82 catchable balls in his area. We've seen Vincent Jackson bail out on balls. We've seen Vincent Jackson bail out in certain games, and you're like, my God, where was he? So that has happened. Let's stay there for a second. Look further down the list. But it's such a good list, Mike. I mean, who do you like further down? Is Reggie Wayne too old? Is Stevie Johnson too much of a headache? Is Mario Manningham going to get overpaid because of the Super Bowl? Is Robert Meacham worth a shot from New Orleans?
I think Manningham will be overpaid. I think he'll be signed by the Redskins the first day of free agency. And it'll be, hey, look, we swept these guys last year, and now we're starting to steal their players. And I wouldn't be surprised if they try to sign Aaron Ross, too, because I think the Giants are going to let him walk away. He was a first-round pick in 2007 at corner. He's got two Super Bowl rings. Anytime you can bring guys into the locker room and flash around those Super Bowl rings, there's value in that. But guys like Meacham, that's a guy that's going to be available, I think, a week after free agency starts. Pierre Garçon's floating around out there. He supposedly turned down some big number with the Colts, though, which surprised me. Reggie Wayne, a little bit too long in the tooth. May not be able to bring it like he used to, but you know, and you guys have done the dance with Brandon Lloyd before. I don't think you want Brandon Lloyd. I think Brandon Lloyd wants to go to New England and be reunited with Josh McDaniels, but there are so many guys available this year at receiver. It really is stunning to see that many recognizable names, guys who have played well in the past, and it's all such a fantasy football driven sport now. When the guys who touch the football are available, when that many are available, it really captures the attention and the fascination of the fans, and they want their team. Every radio station I'm on, the talk is which receiver should we target? Which receiver should we target? Because every fan wants their team to get one of these big name receivers.
He'll probably stay in Dallas, but I'm intrigued by LaRon Robinson as a guy further down the list, a real wide receiver body, a former draft pick when Phil Emery was in the room in Atlanta, and I think there's some upside there.
Oh, and let me tell you this. LaRon Robinson is one of the few guys last year when the money didn't flow the way that the free agents thought it would. I mean, they thought it was going to be Pac-Man Jones and a cherry picker dropping dollar bills all over everybody when free agency began. A lot of guys decided to take one-year deals and hit the market again in 2012 and make their money then. And LaRon Robinson is one of the only guys that had that payoff. He did the one-year deal with the Cowboys, and they even did this little thing that you can do where it's a lower salary cap hit if a guy's got so many years of service. And now the problem is the Cowboys can't re-sign him until free agency begins. They can't lock him up to a deal. He has to hit the market. So they can try to have something in place. They can have a verbal deal in place, and he can tell them at 4 p.m. Eastern time on March 13, see you later, I'm going to sign with somebody else. So he is going to be available unless they'd use the franchise tag, which is highly unlikely. But I think he's a guy that could come in and you know, really, any team out there, you use him the way the Cowboys used him in that slot receiver role, he's a guy who can get the job done.
Mike, the Rams are going to auction off the number two pick so someone can get RG3, and that's probably going to bring them back a bounty. But does the Peyton Manning impending free agency have any impact on that at all? Does that hurt the Rams' market for selling that number two pick at all?
Well, what it's going to do, guys, it's going to take people out of the auction room.
Right.
I mean, the Rams are going to hold an auction. The question is who's going to be there. And you could make the argument you only need two in order to drive the price up to a point where the Rams get more than anybody's ever gotten for a pick that high that was traded. But if Manning signs with this team, that team's not going to care about RG3. Matt Flynn, once he picks a team, that team's out of the running for Robert Griffin III. Kyle Orton, you know, if somebody signs Kyle Orton and says he's our starter, they, you know, maybe they'll say, well, we'd still be interested in Robert Griffin III to be the future, whatever. Look, if you're going to take one of these guys in the top two picks, you got to play him right away. That's the trend now in the NFL. You don't put these guys on the bench. The Titans were the exception last year with Jake Locker. You play these guys. The Vikings, in hindsight, wish that they wouldn't have signed Donovan McNabb and played Christian Ponder from week one. Hmm. You put these guys under center, so you got to be ready to do it. So you're right. And that's the Rams have to figure out, when is the iron the hottest? Is it now? Is it after free agency and teams who didn't get the guy they wanted are now more desperate? Or do you wait and do it right before the draft and hope that a team just gets so caught up in the fascination of getting Robert Griffin III that they overpay? It's a tough decision for the Rams as to that timing issue.
When the San Diego Chargers were forced by Eli Manning and Papa to trade their pick to the New York Giants, they got the number 4 overall pick, which they used on Phillip Rivers, who then sat for 2 years, the number 12 overall pick, which they used on Sean Merriman, the number 65 overall pick, which they used on kicker Nate Kading. It's a pretty good haul, those three, in retrospect, especially because Rivers ended up being pretty good. Will the Rams get something bountiful? Will they get 3 in the top 65?
I think they will. I think they're going to get, if they play it right, they'll get more than what the Chargers got.
Wow.
And the Browns, you know, the Browns make the most sense from the Rams' perspective. And that may be the why the Browns are sending out signals that they really don't want to do it. If I'm the Rams, I don't, you know, you could give me a first round pick next year. I don't care. What's that do for me next year? I don't know where that pick is going to be. I don't know how high or low it's going to be. I know right now the Browns have number 4 and the Browns have number 22. And the Browns have other stuff they can give me right now if they want to make the jump from 4 to 2. And if I'm the Rams, I still have a top 5 pick. I still get the guy that I want. If I'd have to use that pick, there's still a good chance that I get the guy I want at number 4. That I would have gotten at number 2. And I think that's why the Browns are being coy about this, because they know, or they suspect, that despite whoever shows up with those little funny paddles for the auction, that the Rams are going to want to sell this pick to the Cleveland Browns, because that's the best way for the Rams to get guys that can help them win right away.
Last thing, can you give us a little clarity? Where do things stand on Peyton Manning? I read a bunch of different reports last week in passing that, like, the only people that could watch him at this point are Colts people?
Yeah, well, no, here's... Back during the season, Bill Polian, the former GM, vice chair, whatever his title was, he was under the impression that if Peyton Manning failed his exit physical at the end of the season, the coaching staff and the front office could watch him throw, he could rehab under the supervision of the trainers and the doctors, and they would be able to see how he's doing and make an informed decision before March 8th on whether he can throw. Now, all of a sudden, the Colts are putting out there this idea that under the new labor agreement, they're not allowed to watch him throw. They're not allowed to watch it on videotape. They're not allowed to see any evidence about where Peyton Manning is. And I believe that this is all part of the PR battle. And this is actually a fairly smart move by Jim Irsay, because when you get to March 8th and you don't pay him the $28 million and you cut him and your fans are upset, you say, how are we supposed to pay this guy $28 million? We weren't able to see if he can throw. How can we pay him a dime if we don't know if he can throw? So I think this is all part of the setup for when the Colts cut him, and it's only like 8 or 9 days away.
Thank you, Mike. Good stuff as always. Appreciate it.
See you guys.